Book of James, chapter 2. Except for the last scripture I'm going to go to today, all of these are in chapter 2 of a particular book, so I thought that was interesting when I was all finished with this. James chapter 2. Okay, let's do a little review. You guys all, you good? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's review a little bit. The last three messages have been dealing with faith. Okay? The first one was about that faith is the evidence of things unseen. Right? That was the essence of the first message. The second message was that faith comes by hearing. So I'm doing this review because mixed into whatever I'm going to talk about today, we want to be reminded of the fact that it's very, very important for us in our faith, there needs to be evidence. For there to be faith, you have to hear from God Himself, either through the Word of God or through something that's spoken to your mind. Or somebody else says something to you and something quickens in your heart and you know that even though it's coming from a person, that was God using that person to speak something to you and you could grab a hold of it. How many people have had that happen to them? Right? You can hear from a particular human being, and yet it's really coming from God through them to you. So that's really, really important for us. And then last week, it was fight the good fight of faith, that things don't come easy, that there's a fight. The enemy's against you, our human nature is against us moving out in faith. Just the way our natures are, we tend to gravitate in the wrong direction. And so we have to fight the good fight of faith. All right, today, the message is going to... The message is going to be dealing with... I forgot what it was. Where's the thing?
I guess it's not working.
Oh, it's...
You want Belinda's?
Yeah. Can everybody hear me, though?
Yeah.
Problem is, if you get far away from the recorder, it won't pick it up.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
All right, so... Is everybody in James chapter 2?
Yeah.
James chapter 2 kind of gives the what the flavor of this is. And that is that if you read it here in verse 17, it says that even so faith, if it does not have works, is dead, being alone. Now that's really pretty important for us to grab a hold of. Can you hear me? It doesn't sound any different, does it?
Maybe shut it off. Ira had it on.
He did?
Flip
the
switch and shut it off.
Yes, hello?
Yeah, it's better.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay. You turned it on? You turned it on, Ira?
Yeah.
Oh, because then I did turn it off. Okay, so... Faith without works is dead. Now, let's talk, first of all, what does that mean, faith without works? What do we mean when we say works? What's works? What is it?
Putting our faith in action.
Putting our faith into action, so there's going to be some kind of action that's involved. faith needs to have some action that follows. When you hear something from the Lord, He's usually looking for some kind of action. Now, that action might be not to do something, right?
Yeah.
Don't say that to your wife.
Right.
You know, there are things where God, the action we're taking is not taking a normal response to something. You know, and you hear that and you obey. You listen to that. You hear in your mind. Everybody has had that, right? You have heard the Lord tell you either to do something or not to do something. And then you should, hopefully you're obedient to that. But works is dealing with taking some kind of action. Okay? So that's really, really important as we continue to talk about what we're going to talk about today. Faith without works is dead. So, what does that mean? Faith without works is dead. Do you not have faith?
You have faith,
but what's wrong?
Don't do anything.
Yes, it's not alive. You don't see anything living that comes out of that. Right? You can hold something in your mind, but
I'll give you an example.
God could have very well spoken something, and I don't mean that you're hearing it with in your mind, but there's something in your heart that you know, even without hearing words. Everybody knows what I mean when I say that, right? I wonder if there was anybody today who had a nudge from the Spirit of God to come up and bless the kids when Joe made that invitation. You know? Now, if you don't move in action, then that what God spoke to you can't be made alive. It's dead. Right? So that's important for us to realize that we need to act when we hear. And I know, you know, this happens a lot throughout the day. You know, we miss things. God speaks and we hold back. And I think this message is for us today, as people of God in this particular church, is to break that holding back. Because faith without works is dead. There's lots of faith in this room, isn't there?
Yes.
But it isn't made alive unless you step out, unless I step out when God is telling me to.
Right.
That's not to condemn us. It's up for us to learn from it, and so the next time that we actually take that step, we need to do that. Yeah, right.
I think the biggest stumbling block for faith is the feeling of inadequacy.
And this whole thing about works, and this is what we're actually going to get into, Ray, that is probably the biggest thing for us, in this body anyway. Not feeling adequate enough. Feeling that somebody else is either going to judge us, or that you look at yourself and you see all your inadequacies and you go, I'm not going to get up there. You know? Let somebody else do it. You know? Let somebody else do it. And
let's go to the next scripture, because I think what Ray just said just flows right in there. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, if you'll go there. Now, when we move out in action, I think this is important before we actually get to that. There's things that we need to be careful about. Not everything that you hear or feel prompted to do is necessarily from the Holy Spirit. So when you hear, when you sense something, we've talked about this before, you need to be able to discern, is that the Lord? Right?
Yeah.
And that comes lots of different ways. But it's important for you to sense whether that's God or not. Now, in the example that I just gave with Joe asking and you feeling a nudge, that would be in direct response to something that was being asked within this context, which if you feel that nudge, you don't have to sit there and pray about it for, you know, half an hour. There are certain things that you don't need to ponder through. Some things are very, very plain that was the Holy Spirit nudging you. But we sit there and we argue with God on that, in a sense. Yeah. You know, we push back because we don't want to do it because of what Ray was saying there about feeling inadequate. Right? The other thing I wanted to say before I got to Ephesians is sometimes, lots of Christians, they hear, and once they hear something from God, God gets put off to the side, and now they're going to do it in their own strength. So you got these two opposing things, you know. And so it's important too that when you hear that, you don't just run off in your own strength to do things. Amen.
Amen.
So keep that in mind. All right. So now if you go to Ephesians chapter 2, you're already there. I'm not. So let me get there. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 to 10. It says this: "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, you notice here that we have God's grace, his power, his enablement to do things is given to us. And it's through our faith, through our belief, through the evidence that we've received, through being able to hear and believe, and we move out in faith in something, right? Okay? So there's two things going on. What God is doing and what we're doing. You got that? There's a mixture here. It isn't just all one and it isn't just all the other. Do you see that? So Ephesians 2:9 says that it's not of works. James says faith without works is dead. So what is this all? What's all this mean? How does all that resolve itself? Well, if we look at verse 10, it says, "We are his workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works." So we ought to do good works. That's very plain too, isn't it? But this is what I was just talking about. We can't do it in our own mind, through our own strength. We have to hear. Once we hear what to do, we also need to keep hearing how to do it, when to do it, right?
Yeah.
The attitude in which we're supposed to do it.
All right, so that's important when we talk about faith without works is dead. We don't want it to be our own works. And did you have your hand up, right? Oh, okay. So I want you to go now to Philippians chapter 2. We're running through a bunch of scriptures here. I know. Philippians chapter 2. Now I want to show you again that there's something of God and something of us. Does that grab a hold of you? Something of God and something of us. It isn't just God. It isn't that, I'm just going to let God do it. You'll find throughout the scripture where it talks about God's grace, there's our faith. Isn't there?
Yes.
Now, watch what's said here in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to go to verse 12 and 13. It says this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now to much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that sounds like it's all up to us, doesn't it?
Yes.
And this scripture is quoted a lot, this particular verse, verse 12. But there's the next verse is very, very important too. And notice what it says here, okay? It says, for it is God which works in you. Which what? Works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Oh, wow. So, is it God that's working, or is it the, or are we working? What's going on here? And you know what it is? We're both. And you know, we want to compartmentalize and say, this is what God does and this is what we do. And you know, it doesn't quite work that way. We can't quite put our finger on it. When you hear the voice of God and then you take that step of faith and you move out into some action, that is you moving out in action. But it's God. That's God's work, too. Isn't that what he just said?
It's teamwork. It's partnership.
And I want to say this. It's not exactly, this is God helping me, or this is me helping God. It's beyond that. There is something. God has done something so grand and beautiful with us as being new creatures in Christ. We're not, you know, God wants us to do these good works. He wants us to be nice people. He wants us to be kind. He wants us to do all these different things. But he's not doing that. Now, this is kind of the way that C.S. Lewis says it. He doesn't want us to be nice so that we're a better man of the same kind. He wants us to be a different kind of man. Mm-hmm. Do you get this?
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a total transformation involved with this. And that's what this is with you and I, we, with God, we're working in that in together, but it's more than just kind of, he does this and we do that. This is done together in a much grander way. I want you to see this.
Malcolm, can I say something? We were just reading about Billy Graham. Every time that he got up to preach, his knees trembled.
Yeah.
Every time. And this man is, for how long has this man been preaching and teaching? And I think of that. The humbleness. That's why you stay humble, because you're still trembling every time you get up to preach.
Yeah.
There's a humbleness.
He felt inadequate.
Which is a great thing.
Right.
You know?
Because
right.
He became humble. He was always humble about every time.
Yes.
You know, but I couldn't believe that. I read that and I went, Raymond, did you listen to this? You know, because that, you wouldn't believe it. You saw this man over and over all your life.
Yeah.
And he trembled every time he got up to speak.
Yeah.
And yet he was anointed.
Yes.
He was obedient to do this. That's why he was so great.
Yeah, that's why it worked.
You know?
God could really use him because he wasn't taking what he knew God wanted him to do and moved out in his own strength. He relied on God every step of the way.
Yes.
Right? This is what you and I have to do. Because if you look to yourself, you will say, I can't do that. I can't pray as well as so and so. And I've heard that said by people in here. I don't want to pray because I don't pray as good as so-and-so does or like this other person does. So I'm just keeping my mouth shut. And yet God would have you to do that. And there's that thing that holds us back. Because we're looking too much at ourselves rather than the source of where the power and the anointing come from. If you and I realize to be people of faith, we're stepping out, but it's God with us too. Isn't it? When we go to talk to somebody and we share the gospel with somebody, sometimes we don't share because we don't think we're going to have the right words to say. Well, there's a lack of trust in the very source of the power. God provides the grace, and we provide our mouth. Right?
Yes.
And we don't sit there with our mouth closed. We need to open our mouth. And you know, sometimes when you don't know what to say to someone, and you feel the urgency to talk about the Lord to somebody, start talking about something else. Get that mouth moving. Because faith without works is dead. Get some action going. You know? This world needs what God has placed inside of us. And because it isn't us. Every good thing that comes down from heaven comes from God. Everything good that you have comes from God. We can't take credit for anything, can we? All right, now, I had written more stuff down than I normally do. I want to make sure I get to this. Work out your salvation. All right, now, I looked up the word, the definition of work out. And this is what it says. Intensify your labor to accomplish the ultimate purpose. Alright, so now, work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Alright, so we have salvation. Now, what we have to do is to intensify the labor of that to accomplish the ultimate purpose. What is the ultimate purpose of our salvation? What did we just read in Ephesians? Didn't it say that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what purpose? Unto good works. For the purpose of good works. We are to be people that can speak to others, to do works of kindness, to do all these things that we hear God tell us to do, that we step out and we do them. Jesus says, you know, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? He's talking about faith where people are acting upon that faith, and a lot of faith. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Number 13 is excellent because it says,
we'll
probably get into it.
Yeah, go ahead. That's all right.
You know, like, why wouldn't we want to? If it's for God's good pleasure, why wouldn't we want to work in this capacity, to do what we're supposed to do?
Yes.
Because it's for His good pleasure. Don't we as children want to please our parents? Mm-hmm. don't we?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't we want to please God?
Right.
I mean, that's a big question.
Yeah.
We sit here, why don't we want to please Him?
And notice that it's God that's doing the work.
Yes. Yes.
God. We're supposed to work out our salvation, but then the very next thing that's said is, for it is God working in you for His good pleasure. That's amazing to me. How much you and I are connected with God.
Yes, to that point.
Isn't that something? And I think the Lord wants us to realize this so that we're not hanging back. That we actually allow for faith to break through in every single one of our lives. So like what Joe is saying, so hey, this place would be filled with new people. Right?
Yeah.
People that need Jesus. And that they could be built up in the faith. Where's that going to come from? It's going to come from you and I sharing the faith like Joe was talking about. This is important. We're at the end of an age. There's a great harvest. And if we're holding back because we feel we're inadequate, we're not allowing God, who works within us, to will and to do of His good pleasure. We're not letting that happen. That's sad. And we're all kind of in that, you know?
Don't you think we're letting our inadequacy be greater than God?
Yeah.
You know, I know I do. You know, we look at our inadequacy and we're looking at that and saying, oh my goodness, I can't do this. But God is greater than anything.
Yeah. We sing that all the time.
Yeah.
God is greater than all my trouble. Greater than anything.
Right.
And we sing that. Yeah. We sing that. And while we're singing it, I think we believe it. And there's not one single person here who, in your mind, doesn't believe that God's greater than anything. Yeah? I am in the right place here. And if that is true, then if you have the faith, if you believe that, if that's part of your faith, then you have to, if you want that to be alive, you and I have to step out in that. Otherwise, faith is dead. Your faith, my faith is dead if I don't step out in that belief. If I don't move as though I really believe it. Do we believe in our inadequacy is greater than God's ability? And you know what? We find out what we really put more trust in. Do we put more trust in our inadequacy or do we put more trust in God's ability? Because that's His grace.
Yeah.
And that means that we, when we hear, I'm not saying just go out and start doing stuff. When you hear, when you're nudged by the Spirit of God, don't hold back. When you're out doing something and you're sure, you hear something, you sense the Spirit, and you've discerned, you know, this is God. This is God, because I wouldn't think this myself. I wouldn't want to do what He's just telling me to do. Then take the step. Go talk to that person if that's what the Lord's showing you to do. You know? It's got to happen. This has got to happen.
Don't you think we think too much?
I think that is true.
We get a nudge and we think too much and so it stops us in our tracks.
Right.
We might not go on with what we're supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, it says there that it's God working in us. But
I wrote this little thought down because I didn't want to forget it.
It does not mean that we, then, are some passive little puppet of God. You hear that? It isn't like we're just waiting for God to do something with our body. You know?
So,
you might laugh at what I'm trying to do here, but there a lot of times you and I are waiting for something to move us. When we, by faith, need to move ourselves out and take the action that God is nudging our heart to do. We want some supernatural something to happen when faith doesn't do that most of the time. Faith is a decision, isn't it? It is a choice where we are agreeing with what we hear God telling us to do, and we take the action. Faith without works is dead. That's not faith if you're not moving out in it. If there's not an action that goes with what you're hearing from the Lord. Kelly.
Yeah, just getting back to Hobby Lobby, it's really weird because usually I'm a quiet person. And
yes.
And here I am bellowing it out to where like three aisles on each side of me can hear me and not caring. You know, how many people were in that store that never even heard that song and never knew what God was? And here I am singing, God's an awesome God. You know?
Yeah. And to see, and just that you're not afraid to do that encourages other people who maybe.
Well, usually, like Diane says, we overthink, or
you overthink,
or the fear gets into us and stuff. But just for some odd reason, I just started to give you some time, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we rejoice with. Fear and trembling.
Fear and trembling. Yeah, we lock on to that. go ahead, Lisa.
I have a question. So, when we hold back and we do feel like I didn't hold back, or maybe we think, let me think this through, are we giving more power to the evil one? Because, I mean, I've heard some people who, they're so Christians and they open their mouth and it's like, oh my goodness. So it's hard sometimes for them to pray, but then when they open their mouth and you hear something, I mean, not all the time, obviously, it's not something, but sometimes it's scary when you hear some people say or their actions. And so when we ignore that and we quickly judge others or whatever, are we not giving,
we give place to the enemy. And you know, there's always going to be something where we have to modify what was just said. There's always going to be something in life where you have to think about. And we don't want to take that out of the equation either. We need to be listening. We need to hear. We need to discern. Is this the Holy Spirit speaking to us? And I think there's lots of times where something's said and there's an immediate, you know that this is God speaking. If there's some question, then hold back a little bit before, you know. But lots of times, it isn't a question from your spirit. It's you pushing back because you don't want to get out there, you know. You don't want to lose yourself. And I think every single person in here has that particular kind of problem because it's ingrained in our human nature. Jesus says, if you will lose your life, you're going to end up finding it. Yeah. If we die to ourselves, our own ways that we approach situations and the temptations and all of that kind of stuff, if we learn how to die to that, we start to live like the new person that God has created us to be. Now sometimes, I know when I first started understanding this, I thought to myself, well, we're all going to be the same then. We're all going to be just like Jesus. We're all supposed to act just like Jesus. And I don't know why, but I had a little tough time because I didn't want to give up my identity. You know, you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there was an illustration in Near Christianity that I thought was so good. He was talking about food and thinking of ourselves as some kind of food. And when you put salt, I'm gonna mess this up.
No, that's fine.
I'm gonna mess it up. Wait a minute. There's a this is how C.S. Lewis said it. I'm gonna try to get this right. C.S. Lewis said that a person from some foreign country comes to your house. And they see you with a jar of salt, and they say, "Well, what's that?" "Well, this is salt." And so, I've never tasted salt before. "Well, here, taste some salt." So he puts some salt on his tongue, and you know how what salt tastes like, and so, wow. So it's strong, it's something else, and so then. So then he says, "Well, let's sit down for supper," and he pours some salt on it on some of his food. And the guy says, "Isn't all this food going to taste the same? Because all it's salt, Now this is like the Lord, and you're putting salt on everything, all these different individuals. They're all going to taste the same. They're all going to act the same. They're all going to." No. Salt enhances the particular flavor of that particular food. And C.S. Lewis was pointing out how that is the Lord has created us with the different ways that we are. We all are a different flavor. We're all a different aroma unto Him. And having Him more into our life produces, really brings out the true person that we really are. Now that really grabbed a hold. We're not, in losing our life, we find our life. We find out who we really are. See, we think that we are a certain personality when we've been crafted by our environment and our DNA, and that's what it has influenced the way we think and our attitudes and how we act. Is that really us, or is that somebody's input about our political ideas, about our the way we look at the opposite sex, the way we do this, the way we think about that? All of this is really environmentalism. God has a particular purpose that we have been created for. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're probably just a little bit of who we really are. Think about that. The more that we die to the way we've been in our old nature, we find out that we're really someone else entirely. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I feel good.
I'm not going to be. All right. I thought that maybe there would be a bigger response to that.
No, I don't mean that. No, I hope you think about this. I hope you go back and you listen to this if you can stand it. Go back and listen to this and think about what was just said there. We're
some. Some of us would help if we were sprinkled with potash before we stand out.
We are more than who we appear to be. And wouldn't it be great if who God has created us to be, for the all those good works that He's created us to walk in, that we actually walk in them?
Yeah.
Because it says there that we should walk in them. It doesn't say that we will walk in them. He doesn't force us to do anything. He sets that out there, and He speaks.
speaks to us every day. And, you know, lots of times we just go our merry way or we push back. And then, you know what? Our hearts start to harden to what the Lord is saying. You know that? We don't even realize the kind of people that we could be if we just listen a little more quickly. You know? All right, I'm going to get to this.
You know, yeah. Don't you think the opposite of that, too, instead of hardening ourselves to hearing the Lord, when we do move in the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
It's,
go ahead.
It's empowering to the point where you just want more and more of the Lord. You want more of the Lord. So it's kind of just the opposite of that. If you don't do His will, you just kind of get weak. Yeah. But if you're practicing, you're gaining muscle. You're being empowered to do His will.
Yes.
More and more. It's a more exciting life.
Yeah, it is. How many of you believe or have you've experienced that? When you've moved out in faith, when you've spoken something, it just kind of comes out sometimes, or you're moved by the Spirit and you do something for somebody, or you say something here in church, that you do feel more empowered in the Lord. You do feel that way, don't you?
Yes.
Well, I want you to turn now, because we're on this theme about God and us are together in this.
Yes.
Aren't we?
Yes.
We're working out our salvation, but it's God who's working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And you can't kind of separate it out into, as C.S. Lewis puts it, a watertight compartments. This is what God does, this is what you do. This is what God does, this is what you do. No, it's the lines are blurred. And we have to understand that. Because God is moving through us. And let's look at how Paul says it to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. So, you know, here's James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are created unto good works. Philippians chapter 2 tells us to work out our own salvation, but it's God who is doing the working of His good pleasure. And here we are now in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And it says this: I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now notice he says he lives.
No longer I live.
Yeah, I know. But look what it says at the beginning. It says, nevertheless, I live. And then he says, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Paul was living. It was his body. It was Paul's body, wasn't it? And yet, there was something mysterious going on where Paul, like you and I, having the Spirit of God, there's a mix of Christ living in us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. What? Now, there's a preposition here. Does it say that he lives by the faith in the Son of God? What does that mean? By faith of the Son of God. It's Jesus' faith. Does that blow you away? We're to live by Jesus' faith. Boy, he could do everything, couldn't he? Could he do everything?
Yes.
Does that mean that we, if we're hearing and obeying, could do whatever God tells us to do?
Yes.
Oh my goodness gracious. But we do. That flesh just wants to push back. And really, it is high time that we say no to those kinds of feelings that keep us from obeying the voice of God. And not allowing that tremendous change, that tremendous transformation that God wants to do inside of you and me. The root is already there
because we have the Spirit of Christ that lives inside of us.
But now there's this concert, there's this great song and dance where it's the Lord and you, right? Yeah, it's the Lord and you. And in some mysterious way, you can't really, it's like this. You can't see Jesus, but you can see me. But Jesus is there, right? Man. I don't know. Is this getting, maybe it's not getting to you. Because I expected you guys to be popcorning up here. You know? And maybe you are, and I'm judging the wrong way. But I did.
We just like watching you dance.
This is exciting. Don't you think? This is exciting. What God has already provided for us that we can really grab a hold of, and we don't have to be that old person that thinks and is chained up in fear and all these other things. We're brand new people.
Yes.
Awkward. So
I mean, we have examples right here in this church.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, Reggie, when he first started getting up, he was so terrified. He was trembling and couldn't even, now look at him. He has grown so much in his walk with God.
Yeah.
And I mean, Joe, I mean, he was scared to death to do stuff. And I mean, I even see a change at home.
Yeah.
Because he stepped out in faith. Okay, don't give it too much. But no, I mean, seriously, when we are obedient and we ask Christ to do the work in us and through us and we step out in faith, it's amazing what happens.
It's very true. And it's really true for all of us.
Right.
You know, all of us have grown,
right.
Have stepped out in areas where you never would have stepped out before. But I think the Spirit of God doesn't want you to get too satisfied with that, because there's so much more. The fields are white with harvest, and God is looking for His sons and daughters to. Really come to birth in a more fantastic way.
All right, I want us to go to the last scripture today, and that's Romans chapter 8. Okay, Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read... one particular scripture ahead of what? I did put Romans down, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to jump back a few verses. I just want you to see this. In verse 19 of Romans 8, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God." There's a waiting. There's a desire for people to actually live like real sons and daughters of the Lord. Not just have faith in Jesus and His resurrection, but people that are actually people of faith that are moving as God speaks to them. And has turned away from the lower elements of this life that they're not so connected and clicked into those old ways that lead to nothing. Yeah? People are looking for this manifestation of sons of God. Sons like Jesus. Right? Because look what it says now. We're going to go to the particular verse. It's verse 29. It says this: "For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn
among many brethren. Oh, man. Isn't that great? We're being conformed into the image of Christ. And this image of Christ is going to be our own special salty food that's different than Jesus. Well, nobody's ever going to be like Jesus. Make sure we say that. Jesus was God. He was begotten, not made. We were created. Jesus wasn't. You understand that?
Yes.
So, in that special sense, he is the special Son of God. But we're all to be sons of God, that he's not going to be ashamed to call us brethren. That means that we're in this process of having his life be so mixed with ours that the special way that we were, what we were created for, what we were predestined to be as a person, we are actually going to get there. Isn't that great? I hope that this is, I'm encouraged by this. With all the junk that's in the world and all the disappointments of this life, you know, we have this. And you know what? Sometimes those things help you. These theological things help us to be able to meet the junk of this life. The pain, the sufferings, the disappointments, the problems can be met because we know in whom we've believed. We know that he empowers us. I'm just excited today. Somebody had me. No? Somebody have anything you want to say? Because I think there's some people that have something to say. Go ahead, Rachel.
I was just going to say, now I'm lost it, but that's how... You know how God is? There's God and then there's the three persons.
Yes.
And I think that Christ and God, and there's a place in the scripture where it says like that's what God wants us to be, like him and the Father, him and the Godhead. He wants us to be with them too, in the Godhead. You know that adoption...
We are, Jesus says, me and my Father are one. And he wishes, he wants us to be in them like he and the Father are in each other. He wants that special kind of God mix. That we're so here in God, we're so in love with him, that we're so moving and obedient to what he's saying up for us to do. That we're going to be these sons like Jesus. So that he's not ashamed to call us brethren. I love this. I love it. The way it plays itself out this week, I don't know how that's going to be for any one of us. But I really think that we want to ask God that we have an active faith. Lord, give us an active faith, oh God. Chris, you had your hand up too.
Yeah, I was just, like you were saying, there's things that are out there that God puts there for us, whether we take them or not. And, it depends on how you feel. When... I haven't felt good before, and I'm sure there's other people that can understand that. I've been there before. It's like you miss that. You don't see it as what the opportunity that should be, or even blessings that are out there. Your mind just isn't toned in.
Yeah.
And there's a blessing there, and you don't see it.
Yes.
And if you're feeling good, and you're ready to thank God for different things, that blessing, you'll see it right off the bat. And thank him. But today, this week, just... going down the road, and there's five turkeys in the road. Mm-hmm. And so they hear me coming, and so they all start walking single file, And they get almost to Mona's in this little field there on the right. And of course, I was saying my prayers going down, so I didn't have the radio on, so just total silence. And then all of a sudden, those turkeys, they just turned, and it's, they all were, you never see turkeys all in a line, really, to speak of, like that. And they all turned.
Yep.
And they stuck their necks out, and I know that they were gobbling because something got the hand or something. But they all just stuck their necks out, and in my head, what I heard was like the trumpeteers, like when the king is coming. It's like, it's like, well, that's awesome. But and just something like that. You know, how many people would see something like that? You know? Another, just like 2 days after that, I clicked onto a radio station. It was mostly old, like old rock, classic rock and stuff. And it was the 70s. I always like electric guitar when someone really plays their emotion.
Yeah.
And that, it was real good. And it's like, wow. So I started putting like lyrics to it. And I was just about done. And it's like, wow, thank you, Lord. And I was putting, you know, Lord's lyrics to it and stuff. And then the next song come on, and it starts off with bongos. And in the lyrics that I was thinking of Jesus, You're My, the Doobie Brothers song back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Jesus, You're My Friend.
Yeah.
So what do you think the next song was? I mean, write that in.
Jesus.
Was that song?
Yeah. Hallelujah. God speaks to us in so many different ways. It's just so fantastic. Rachel.
That's what I was just going to say, was that even if somebody just smiles at you, that's God. If you look at everything that's good from God, then you should be thankful, even just as a smile from somebody,
yeah,
or a kind word or anything, as God encouraging you to do the same, or encouraging you just to say hi and I love you type thing.
Every good and perfect gift comes from God.
I want to just say this, Rachel, what you said. You know, you're yourself, right? And certain times you reach out to somebody and you really are caring about them and you ask how they are and how things are. And you just do it with your heart. And I did this past week, and I got a card from this person saying, you don't know how much it meant to me that you came up to me and asked me these things and cared about me. It is so important to me. I cried because I just did what was in my heart, not thinking that it meant all that much to this person.
Yeah.
So that's what we're saying.
Yes.
Is when the Spirit moves you to speak to somebody or just care, you don't know how much that meant. I mean, I didn't realize it meant that much to that person.
Yeah.
It just touched my heart.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's beautiful too, and that's what we are talking about. We can't know lots of times, and so when we hear something, let's act on it.
Yeah.
Act on it.
Yeah.
Discern, know that it's God, but then act on it. Amen. We're going to see lots of things happen in this church if we do that in a greater degree. Amen.
Amen.
So Lord, I just ask, Lord, that all those that want that, Lord, that you would bless them with that right now. Anyone that's crying out for that in their hearts right now, touch them. A person of active faith, alive faith, Lord, that puts aside themselves and looking at themselves and their inadequacies, and looking at your grace, and looking at your power. And knowing, Lord, that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. And I ask that for myself. Anybody here, Lord Jesus, in their hearts right now that desire that, I please touch them this day, this week. Bring them, Lord, that they may walk in faith, and live out their faith and work out that salvation, that faith, with fear and trembling, knowing that it